Speaking of film, a film producer extraordinaire, actor extraordinaire, who's going to be a part of Monster Mania, a convention that we love on Below the Belt Show. Guys, it's Grant Kramer on the line. What's up, Grant?
Yo, what's happening?
Grant, good to have you here on Below the Belt Show. We apologize for that mix-up. I know that you called in yesterday by accident. And,
no, it was totally my fault. I had just stuck it in my, you know, you have the iPhone thing, and you stick it in the wrong place, and
that's what she said, right? Mm-hmm.
When I went back and I looked at the email, it was pretty clear, but, you know, I mean, it was I have an excuse. It's legal now, so.
Well, it's better to be early than late, you know?
Will, are you?
So, Grant, are you excited to be
here? I can't remember where I put something, you know, I have an excuse now.
Well, we're glad you're here nonetheless, Grant. And I got to say, first of all, very impressed by your very successful transition from in front of the camera to behind the camera as a producer. Explain how that worked out, being an actor from major films in the 80s and now being a very successful film producer.
You know, it happened kind of bit by bit and very organically in a way. You know what I mean? I had kind of gone through this period where I was trying to just kind of, you know, elevate the work I was getting. You know, and like, you know, I loved doing movies like Killer Clowns, but I was trying to get, you know, things that were a little bit considered to be a little bit more kind of like a movie and really good TV. And while I was doing it, I was turning down work. And the next thing you know, it was harder and harder to get work, you know, because people don't know what you've got in your head. They, you know, you're thinking you're being a little bit more picky, and they're just thinking, oh, well, he's not working late. So all of a sudden, you know, it starts getting harder and harder to get work. So it was right about the time that, you know, Swingers was being made.
Oh,
and
wow. One of my favorites, by the way.
Yes, Swingers and Sling Blade and, you know, actors that were creating their own movies. So I said, you know what, I'm just going to start writing and create my own movie. And but the funny thing happened while writing is, you know, I actually did create my kind of my Swingers with a bunch of actor friends, but everybody got greedy and started fighting. It's like the opposite of the story you read it with them. They stuck together. And, you know, my friends all started fighting and getting greedy and thinking this had to be a huge movie. And so it didn't happen, but the transition, all of a sudden I started writing and I had a little bit of success as a writer. You know, you first time you option a script to somebody, which is somebody gives you a little bit of money and, you know, against now they control the script for a year or two, whatever it happens to be. And, if it gets made, you make some decent money, but you know, you make a little bit up front and you feel like, oh, I'm validated now and my movie's going to be made. And, but I quickly found that, you know, a lot of producers, as soon as they hit their first roadblock or two, they get disappointed and they stop working for your project, and they have like a whole lot of them, a whole bunch of them. And they kind of just move over, they take a lateral move.
Right.
And, you know, for me, I was like, no, that's my baby. You can't do it. So I started kind of jumping on phones and calling people and, you know, without really realizing it, I was doing what a producer does. Right.
Right.
And the next thing you know, some other writer friends of mine, you know, would come and see what I was doing and say, you know, hey, would you try doing this on this project of mine? And so I had a few other people. And the next thing you know, you're actually, you know, getting like an office and a phone and an assistant, and you're doing it a lot regularly. And so it kind of happened like that. And then that's how it kind of moved from. From the acting into it moved from like acting to writing to producing is the way it moved along.
Wow, it's kind of we've talked to Alex Winter before from Bill and Ted's. Very parallel to, you know, as an actor on Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, and now he's a very successful writer and producer as well. So I don't know if you know.
Yeah,
Alex,
and I heard, you know, friends of mine are involved in the finally making the new Bill and Ted's. So hopefully
sweet.
That works out for him. Yeah,
oh,
so
new
I,
Bill and
you know,
breaking news
hearing,
to me.
I keep on hearing little bits and pieces about the new Bill and Ted's getting.
We've heard rumblings about that from Alex, but do you know anything else about it?
You know, I know that I think what did I know? I've got a little bit of a connection with some people that work with Keanu, and I think that they're involved with it. And so when we're talking about other things, they bring it up from time to time. So I don't want to say anything that goes down the wrong road, but I know that it's a project that they're actively, kind of trying to push forward to get made.
Okay.
Do we have any idea if the Grim Reaper is going to make a cameo?
No, I don't. I don't. I haven't seen the script or anything like that.
I got to see if his bass career took off. I got to see if he made it play in the bass. These are questions that need to be answered.
Well, Grant, I do see on IMDb, I guess this is a sequel of a film that you're known for, and that's the Killer Clowns from Outer Space. This is Killer Clowns from Outer Space in 3D.
Well, we figured if there was ever a movie that and I'm not talking about like James Cameron 3D. I'm talking I'm talking about like the old school in your face 3D. James Cameron likes to talk about how he's moved the entire technology of 3D. So, so it's all kind of, very easy on the eyes and you don't ever feel like you're pushed out of your seat. And it's mostly dimension in the background. I kind of look at Killer Clowns in 3D as like the perfect movie to kind of have popcorn flying in the audience's face.
Yes.
All this stuff. Kind of like really like because we're spoofing old school movies anyways,
right?
Yeah. With Killer Clowns, so why not like really do the old school kind of 3D?
Yeah, if you don't feel violated, you're not doing it right.
We actually have a script I worked with the Kyotos on it and we came up with like a story that we all liked and agreed with and. We call it a requel because it's a sequel, but it kind of like re-encapsulates the original story. So it's not a sequel and it's not a remake. We call it a requel. And we've actually had it kind of on the verge of moving forward a couple of times. It's a little bit different than, the difficult thing about making movies independently is you're always trying to kind of fit things into a formula, and even though you've got something, even though you've got something that's great, if it doesn't fit right into a person's formula, it's difficult to get it made and financed. And Killer Clowns is a little bit outside the box, right? I mean, doesn't have like big stars in it. I mean, we wrote it to be able to kind of put some nice cameos in it and things like that, but
right.
Doesn't have big stars, and it's not like a movie you kind of go and sell all the territories overseas. But at the same time, I'm still very hopeful and confident that we're gonna be able to get it up and going.
Is it too late to add a big star to it since it's still in the pre?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
So there you go, Jennifer Lawrence. I think she needs a.
Of course she does. Well, somebody was telling me like they were pitching an actress to me like 2 days ago. Actually, somebody that works for me and. And I said, I can't really use them. They're not really, they're great, but they're not really at the level we need. And they were like, well, what about Alicia Vikander? Alicia Vikander from Tomb Raider. She's not a big name. And I was like, she won the Academy Award last year. I'm like, she may not be like a huge name in kind of like Rust Belt Middle America yet.
Right.
Hasn't sipped down. But I said, like, among directors and among, people that hire people, I said she's already in kind of Jennifer Lawrence category.
Yeah,
and she was like, "Well, what about Jennifer Lawrence? So what's the big deal about that?" Like, have I not taught you well? Jennifer Lawrence can have about 10 bombs before it starts to affect her because she's so bloody talented.
Yeah, she is.
And because she's she picks movies with the direct. I mean, basically, she's the first choice. Of every director that could possibly have a chance of having her in a part, she'd be right.
Yeah, that seems about right.
Now, are you surprised that, like, Killer Clowns, like, you kind of like the pioneers of, like, these scary clowns. Are you surprised that how people are, here it is, like, 30 years later, people are still afraid of clowns and, with the remake of It?
I was kind of hoping everybody would come running at me after the remake of It, and say, well, what about Killer Clowns?
Right.
I think, you know what?
The clowns
I think
are hot
clowns
right now.
Have always had kind of a weird thing of freaking people out, which is, I think, what made the Kyotos, kind of come up with the concept to begin with. Mm-hmm. What is it about our popular consciousness that, we love clowns, but at the same time, we're kind of like, they're scary and they spook us and we're freaked out by them. And they said, well, let's create this like alien mythology that that all this stuff was really kind of spooky, and that's why it happened that way. But I think that phenomenon kind of predates Killer Clowns by a long way.
Okay.
But hopefully Killer Clowns added to it. I remember watching a clip on, of a game show where Emmett Smith, the football player, was on there, and he somebody sent it to me, and the clip, and his answer was about, what freaks you out or whatever, and it was killer, it was clowns. And they said, well, what caused you to have that? And he says, watching Killer Clowns without his face.
I gotta be so proud.
Yeah, but before you called in, this is Martin Lopez. Meanwhile, I was telling the guys in the studio, your movie was one of the early ones to creep me out. It was Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Mm-hmm. It was Killer Clowns from Outer Space, and then another clown oriented film, Poltergeist, when kid fought with the doll.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally,
so
totally.
You got me early. Well done.
Oh, thank you. Hey, I'm kind of excited that at this weekend I just yesterday looked at the lineup of who else is
for Monster Mania.
Yes, for Monster Mania. Yeah.
Yeah, and Richard Dreyfuss is going to be there.
That's right. What we were talking about. Yeah,
Richard Dreyfuss. Yeah, and the original clown. The original clown from
Tim Curry. I'm kind of baffled by Richard Dreyfuss. I mean, this seems like one of the. I mean, didn't he win at least one or two Academy Awards? And I mean, he's like one of the biggest actors in the world.
Mr. Holland's Opus.
Yeah, Mr. Holland's Opus
and
Goodbye Girl.
Yes.
Yeah, his resume is impressive.
So, are you saying you're surprised he's doing Monster Mania?
I'm just surprised that somebody that's that talented and that big is not, still, I mean, there's got to be a renaissance for him. I mean, I don't know him personally, but he's so talented, and it was such a, I mean, growing up in my life, I mean, he was as big of a star as you could get, right?
He did What About Bob?
But you know what? What it is at that age group, there are only so many roles, and all of them go to Tom Hanks. And that's real talk. That when you want that
but,
age,
you know,
guy,
but I mean, there's a lot of guys. There's a lot of guys like William Hurt and things like that were big stars that still have active, supporting careers now. Even if they're not big movie stars themselves, they still. But you don't ever really see Richard Dreyfuss anymore, right?
Yeah, well argued.
That's a good point.
You know, Al. Yeah.
But you're definitely in good company. We have Randy Quaid, Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, he's awesome too.
Yes. Maybe
a lot of stars.
There's a lot of people that will probably be good additions to the return of the Killer Clowns in 3D.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, I would probably go and try to talk to both those guys and get them to be in
Paul Reubens in Killer Clowns.
I could see that.
That'd be a great
movie. I could see Ally Sheedy, too.
That's right. Ally Sheedy's there, too. She's an old friend I haven't seen in 20 years or something like that.
Oh, that's cool. You guys are old friends. I love it.
Yeah, we're old friends.
Plus you have...
it's been a long time, but yeah, she's an old friend of mine.
And plus you got Tim Curry there, the original It Clown, so you can go and...
Oh, my God, yeah, Tim Curry.
So that actually, that makes
amazing.
Sense. Yeah. So for, he
mean,
was...
Well, he's the star of a movie maybe ever, right? Or one of them. Might not be much of a man by the light of day.
Yeah.
You know, Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah. Rocky Horror, of course. That
and of course, my personal favorite is him playing the devil in Legend.
Yeah, you're with me, man. Yes. I brought up Legend in studio.
Oh, with Tom Cruise.
Yeah, he looked amazing
that
as
was
Satan.
Just awesome, wasn't it?
Oh, just in practical effects, right? No CGI. We weren't there yet. That was all real makeup. That was legit.
Oh, it was.
And you know what else?
Yeah,
it was made in the '80s.
Yeah,
I mean, listen, I never. I mean, listen, I still guys like that. I still love. I still get excited about meeting. Even though I grew up in a movie family and I've been an actor for years and a producer, you know, but certain, you know, certain people, you know, you get first time you get to meet them, it's still really cool.
So you're an actor, a producer, and a fan.
And a fan, yeah.
So how's it? So you're gonna meet people there that you look up to and respect, and you have people coming there to meet you this weekend who respect you and all your work. How's it? Meeting all the fans and, like, you know, hearing, like, you know, how you influence them and, like, you know, some of your movies.
Listen, I love it. I mean, Killer Clowns is you know, a movie that we all, you know, made. It was kind of, you know, the Kyoto's labor of love, and we all got behind it. And then the fact that it kind of really earned itself this, you know, true kind of, have, you know, kind of a true cult love affair with, you know, with over time. I just think it's really cool, and, you know, Suzanne and I are still really close, and I'm really good friends, of course, with the Kyotos, who I, you know, spent time developing the sequel with, and so, and I love to see the fans and, you know, how much people get into it, and, you know, like, for me, you know, I do, like, one festival every year or two, I mean, one of these shows. I don't, you know, I'm not, like, somebody that goes and does them all the time, so to me, when I go and do it, it's like, getting a chance to see the fans, getting a chance to, like, just go and hang out with my friends. And, you know, it's just a fun weekend.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So I got to talk about some recent projects that you've been producing, Grant, because, first of all, I was a big fan of End of Watch.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my favorite project I've been involved with so far.
Oh, really?
Very nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Could that possibly be a sequel? I don't know if...
Well, it's kind of hard. First of all, David Ayer, the director, he was only a writer before that, and now he's kind of blown up and become huge. So the movie kind of did what he wanted it to do for himself, which is kind of launch his directing career. You know, since then he directed Fury. He directed what was that kind of big Netflix movie? Bright.
He did Bright.
And I loved that.
You know, nice.
Will, that was, why were people hating on it?
I don't know why people were hating on that movie, because yeah, I thought, okay, movie. I'm going to watch it on Netflix tonight. It was, you know, it was like a Friday night. My wife and I both watched it. We said it's probably not going to be very good. We were like, well, this is really fun.
Yeah.
No,
it's a great little ride.
And it was intelligent, and it had, like, spot-on social criticism. Like, it approached a lot of problems in unique ways. I thought it was a fantastic film.
I agree. I really liked it. So, anyways, you know, I don't know if it's the kind of, I mean, I suppose you could, but, you know, one of the cops is dead at the end of the movie, and, you know.
That film gave you closure, you know, and if you could do another film of the same genre, but you don't need to reopen that bag. That film closed, it opened and closed very well.
Exactly. And if you look, David Ayer's previous films, I mean, you know, the reason why, I mean, I read the script and I just, like, fell in love with it. But I also, you know, I just felt like David Ayer, you know, he's the guy that wrote Training Day and, you know, several other, like, dirty cop movies. I said, you know, if you're going to make a movie about cops in L.A., this is the guy you let do it. Mm-hmm. And we made that movie really, really inexpensively. I mean, the entire budget was like $7 million. Mm. You know, it wasn't like Whiplash inexpensive, but, you know, for a kind of a wide release movie, it was made really, really cheaply. I love that movie too, so I'm glad you do.
Yeah, fantastic.
I just think it's badass.
Yeah, and Lone Survivor, another great film as well. So you've been really busy, it seems, just looking at your IMDb on the producing side. So,
well, thank you. Yeah, Lone Survivor was obviously, you know, End of Watch and Lone Survivor are kind of, you know, kind of neck and neck to me of, like, the two movies that I'm most proud of.
Oh, nice.
In terms of being involved producing them, you know, it's every one is kind of like a miracle when you get them off the ground. You just, you know,
isn't,
you can't believe
it.
I've got one that we're
amen
to
that
to
and
get.
Say it again.
We actually have a film producer in studio, Mr. Chad Morton.
People have no idea what it takes to start that thing. Everybody wants to start, but the middle
start.
And the finishing, that's when everybody taps out. Yeah, it'd be Conor McGregor to bring that thing home. So congratulations.
No kidding, right?
Yeah. And you got actors in studios that have also been part of projects that didn't get all the way there, right?
Yeah.
Where you film for 6 weeks.
Well,
and it
listen, if you're a producer and Chad'll tell you this, it's like, you know, every once in a while I open up my folder on my emails that has like all of the, you know, that it says like just like old movies. Right?
Well, did you take notes? Did you take notes during the process?
During the process,
like,
of what?
Like, were you writing notes, like stuff that you could learn from on your next film, possible mistakes or things that went well or things that went bad?
Oh, I'm like, I mean, not necessarily like writing them down on a piece of paper, but I'm a constant student. I mean, if I get a chance to see somebody, if a friend asks me to give them notes on a rough cut, and I'm seeing, you know, and I'm seeing slides of that are still in there of special effects shots. I mean, I'm actually stealing. I'm looking to see how something's done. So I'm always learning from every director I get a chance to work with, every you know experience I get a chance to do, and I just don't think you can ever stop doing that.
Can never stop learning. Well said.
Awesome. Well, yeah. Grant, we thank you so much for calling into Below the Belt Show. It's been a pleasure and a great interview. Thanks for talking to
us. Guys, my pleasure.
We'll be
my
stopping
pleasure.
By. We'll be stopping by on Saturday.
I can't wait to meet you guys in
person.
Yeah,
myself, Al Soto, and Chachi McFly.
Yeah, and you're bringing other people from the movie, too, with you.
Yeah, well, Suzanne lives in San Francisco. She actually just texted me about half an hour ago, like, hey, you're still going, aren't you? I hope I'm going to get to see you. I know the weather's really bad. And I was like, I don't think the weather's that bad. Of course I'm going to get.
No, weather's fine.
You'll be okay.
It's going to be a great time.
Awesome. Well, Grant,
it's snowing now, right? And then it's supposed to be a little better.
No, snow's done. It was a light snow earlier today, and it's fine now.
Yeah, it is kind of freaky when you open your iPhone and the snow is actually falling on the Philadelphia page.
Yeah, it's supposed to be sunny all day Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Sunny in Philadelphia.
There you go.
There's the fun. There's the fun.
It's always sunny in Philadelphia.
So, Grant, if you could, before we let you go, let us know who you are, throw out some of your best work from, you know, Killer Clowns or whatever you'd like. And let us know you're listening to Below the Belt Show and throw out a catchphrase at the end.
You mean right now?
Yes, right now.
Oh, okay. Oh, geez, all of that on the spot. Okay.
I was famous for putting people on the spot.
this is Grant Kramer. I started in some crazy movies like Card Bodies, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, and a bunch of other movies and TV shows. I'm now producing movies like Lone Survivor, End of Watch, November Man. Our next movie, knock on wood, this summer we're going to make is called Razor from the Razor comic book, the sister character of the Crow. I am really excited to be talking to all my new buddies from Below the Belt show. And let's see. Wow, the freaking catchphrase! Jeez, what's the catchphrase? He went straight up.
There you go. Well done.
And you can say we'll see you at Monster Mania.
And we'll see you at Monster Mania, guys. Please come out. Can't wait to meet everybody.
Thanks so much, Grant.
Thank you.
Have a good
one. All right.
Bye-bye.
You too.
Bye. Bye-bye.
That was a great interview.
He was great.
Yeah.
Grant Kramer.
The fans are always better because, like, you can tell when somebody loves the industry and they love what they're
doing. He grew up in the industry.
Yeah,
he was immersed in the industry.
He put in the work, though.
Yeah.
He
put in the work, man.